So here we are. As Tim said, we're at the final chapter of this letter from Peter to a scattered church that was struggling. A church that in many ways had much, much more difficult times than we're going through now. But a letter that's given us a lot of wisdom to think about as we've been in lockdown over these last few months. I was looking back through some of the previous things we've been talking about in terms of our relationship with our government, our work bosses and our families. Thinking about living in hope and not fear, and dealing with suffering by looking at our long-term relationship with God. It's been a pretty good letter, hasn't it? But before we look at today's passage in a bit more detail, I want to start with a story. It'll make sense later, I promise. When I first went to university at 18, I was a relatively new Christian. I'd been a Christian about 12 months or so at the time. And so my roots were still really shallow, and I didn't really know that much about the Christian faith, but I was committed to it, and my faith was important to me. And being relatively new to my faith, and moving away from home, I looked to Christians who'd been with God a lot longer than I had, and as being wiser and more experienced. There was a girl living in the flat below me at university who was definitely a wiser and more mature Christian than I was. And although she wasn't in any formal role, either in the Christian groups at the university, nor was she in a formal role in our church, I looked to her. And that's a fairly natural thing to do. Now, some of the things she introduced me to were life-giving and really nourished and nurtured my faith. Other things, she was 18 as well, just like me, they weren't quite so wise or helpful. Or some of them were just plain bad Christianity. But until my own faith began to mature and I started to understand that some people believed things that really couldn't be true if we really delve into the Bible, I wasn't in a position to discard them, although I did in time. Now, the point is, although she had no formal role in the church or in the university Christian groups at that point, she was a leader, at least in my eyes. And one of the key things I want you to hold on to as we approach this passage is that whether someone is a leader or not isn't determined by their title or their position so much as whether someone is following them. Leadership is determined by the followers more than by the person leading. So as we start to unpick this part of scripture today, although it's been written primarily with those with some formal and recognized authority in the church in mind, there's a lot of important wisdom here for every single one of us, because any one of us can at some point be a leader to someone we know at some point. So it's good to be prepared to know how it is that we are supposed to lead people. And if we look at the first few words of today's reading, I had a couple of key questions that sprang to mind. But the first one was, who are the elders? Now, in some churches, there are people with that specific title, usually given with a capital E. It's a title given to people who are in charge of the smooth running of the church. And the Message version of the Bible reads church leaders instead. But actually, there's no capital E here. I don't think Peter is talking just to the people who have an official title. Like we suggested earlier, the elders are the people who have more experience or are wiser in the faith, not just those with a formal role. Any one of us can be elders when we look at it in that way. At the same time, any one of us can be the younger one. There are people who lead us and there are people who follow us. And within that, we are all elders in some relationships and followers, youngers, as he refers to later, in others. And it talks about elders looking after the flock like shepherds. And this is a really common image used when leadership in church is talked about. But when was the last time you saw a shepherd with a herd of sheep walking down Bowling Hall Road? These words, this image may have made sense to people who'd recently lived in the country or still were. But for many of us who for generations now have lived in towns and cities like Bradford, our experience of a shepherd is minimal. So let's unpack a little bit what the shepherd means. Perhaps when you are thinking of a shepherd, this is what you're thinking of. A lovely chocolate box style image of a clean young man or woman cuddling a lamb with an attentive sheep at her side. Is that what you're thinking of? All looks very cute and sweet and clean and pastoral. And, you know, she looks like she's had a good shower and everything else. But the reality, and certainly in the time of Peter wrote his letter, is a bit more like this little video here. Sheep are unruly creatures. They go where they're not supposed to go, and they get themselves into all kinds of strife. And the shepherds have to be strong and resourceful. And sheep are also tasty, and not just to us. So a shepherd had to be watching for attacks at all times, especially at night. So being a shepherd was a 24/7, 365 job. You were responsible for keeping your animals safe every day, all day. No showers, no comfy beds, and a lot of hard muscle. To be a shepherd, you can't just walk on ahead and expect the sheep to meekly follow. No, if you want your shepherd at work, they're usually behind the sheep, following them, collecting up the ones who are going astray, and making sure that every single one is going in the right direction. It's a very different style of leadership to the sort that the world usually recognises, but it's definitely leadership. And Peter goes on and unpacks this further, saying how we're supposed to lead those who look to us for leadership. He says we're to do it out of love for God and not because of the power that it gives to us. In the message again, it says not bossily telling others what to do, but tenderly showing them the way. The thing is, as a leader, it's easy to let that position go to your head. And most leaders, if they're honest, have at some point been the bossy one telling people what to do. The best ones realise that it doesn't work and they find other ways of leading people. And when someone looks up to you, it's easy to think that you're more than you are. Ultimately, we're all fellow travellers on the road to learning about who God intends each of us to be. It's just some of us have been walking that road a bit longer than others, and some people may have seen a little bit more of the map. The kind of leadership that Peter is talking about is the kind of leadership that's humble. It's the kind that listens to the people being led and involves them in every possible way. It's the kind of leadership I've seen modelled by the best leaders I've worked with. And it's the kind of leader I want to grow into being too. But that then brings me to the second question that sprang to my mind. Who is this flock that needs to be led? And if we're going to look at this part, I think we need to look back at the last part of the previous chapter. After all, these chapter breaks were put in long after the Bible was written to make it easier for us to find the bits we're talking about. So we can't assume that the writers intended them to be there. And the wording Peter uses for the church in chapter 4 is the household of God. Now, the household of any family is far more intimately connected to it than the flock of sheep. So I don't think we as the church are actually the flock that's being considered here. No, I think the flock that Peter is talking about is everybody in the world, everybody we come into contact with, which again is why I think we need to hold on to this fact that every single one of us is a leader. When somebody asks you to pray for them because of something that's happening for them at home, or asks you how you can believe in God in lockdown, you're leading them. The flock refers back to the same flock that Jesus was talking about when he told the parable of the good shepherd, who went out and looked for the missing sheep once he'd got the 99 sheep safe. So the flock is a much bigger group to be looked after than simply us as the church. And again, it makes more sense then when Peter is talking to those who are younger, because younger doesn't necessarily mean young or youngest. We're all elders to those not in the household. But within the household, some of us are more experienced and wiser than others. We're all called to lead in some respects and follow in others. And we need to respect and care for those who lead and guide us. So if the flock is all the people in the world, that's a really huge task, isn't it? And if we're all called to be leaders in it, We're called to be the kind of leaders who listen to those around us and who will be impacted by the decisions that are made on their behalf. So if we're going to be listening to everybody, we need to be careful that we're not living in our own little homogeneous bubble. Social media makes it really easy to shut out the voices of dissent, the people who disagree with us. And it's really easy to surround ourselves just with those people who say the nice things, the things we want to hear. But that's a trap. We're not just called to lead people like us. We're called to lead everyone. And that means we have to listen to people who aren't like us, people who disagree with us, people who tell us things we don't want to hear. And so if we do all of those things, then life will be rosy, right? Well, that's not what Peter is telling us in the last part of this passage, is it? Be alert. Look out, because the devil is looking for someone to devour. Let's not be naive about things here. There is a spiritual realm. And what we see is not all there is. If we accept the Holy Spirit exists, then we also have to recognize that some not so holy spiritual influences are around as well. The devil is real and does attack. And the more we're doing the stuff that God wants us to do, the more likely the devil is to attack us. Why is that? Well, if we're not following God and doing the stuff he wants us to do, then we're doing the devil's job for him, aren't we? And if you want something short to read on the subject, you can't go too far wrong by reading the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, the same guy who wrote the Narnia books. I reread them again this year. And while it's definitely not scripture, it reminded me of just how we experience spiritual attack, especially when you're living life God's way. But Peter's right to talk about this, because if we know it's likely to happen, it's easier to deal with it. We can be prepared and recognize it when it does happen. And I love his description of the devil as being like a lion looking for someone to devour. Many of you will have seen this happen in nature documentaries, and it's always the one who gets left behind or separates from the group who gets taken down. Now, this has been a difficult year for me, and there have been times when I have known I have definitely been under attack. But through it all, I've always known God's presence and the support of those who know me well, those at college who've been given the job of supporting me, and knowing that there's people praying for me have been a real source of strength. It's helped me to dig in and keep going, even when it's been easier to run away and hide. So please, there's two things I would say here. If you want to do something for your leaders, pray for them, because your leaders will be facing this attack more even than you are. But when you are under attack yourself, please remember, there is safety in being with other Christians. We've got to keep on keeping on with the family of God. Peter reminds us that in these dark times, we're not alone. But he also offers us hope, because things will get better in the end. Jesus' resurrection promises us, no matter how dark things get in this life, we have the promise of eternity with him. And that is the light that will sustain us, no matter how dark it gets. So yes, we are all leaders, and we need to be gentle and humble leaders who listen and care for the people we're entrusted to guide. And if we're the leaders who are living our lives the way that God is calling us to, we can expect that there will be attacks. But Peter's prayer offers us hope, and it's also my prayer for you today, that God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power, forever and ever. Amen.